Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know that our best interviews are often highlighted right on the main screen? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
We go to the early morning hours, Newport Beach, California, and one William Gross. Bill, good morning.
Tom.
Bill, these are better numbers. There are some structural issues here, median duration longer. Participation rate is just simply lousy going back well into the summer of 2011. But with futures up 12, Bill Gross saying buy equities. I mean, this is a good set of numbers, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. This is a risk-on type of day and a risk-on type of report. Let me just point out a few things that you haven't mentioned yet. The work week was flat. That's not so good. The average hourly earnings were 0.2 versus 0.1, and so we're moving up in terms of wages. The revisions were 60,000 plus versus last month. So this is really an extraordinary report. We would caution, as always, that there are many structural headwinds ahead in terms of our economic future. But for the moment, there's no doubt that it's risk on.
Well, Bill, does this look like a turning point?
Well, we've been turning for a while, Ken. Certainly we've been accelerating for the past month, two or three, and I suppose that's to your question. And so, you know, what will we expect in terms of GDP going forward? We saw 2.8. A lot of it was inventory related. What do we expect for the first half? Probably a 2 to 2.5% number would be our guess. I think the Fed would be dissatisfied with that. I think the Fed would continue to employ monetary ease and the potential for QEs. But for the moment, at least, we're headed up in terms of many of these growth metrics.
The participation rate plunges 63.7, takes it back, I believe, to 1983. Bill Gross, Jim Glassman mentioned this earlier, and Brad DeLong in an essay earlier this week. It is just the most odd thing to see the participation rate go from 67% well under 64%.
Yeah, it is. Discouraged workers, perhaps, but calls into question the unemployment rate. It's good to see it go down. It's good to see it at 8.3%. But to suggest that that in contrast to the participation rate, which is really the number that that generates spending, consumer spending. I mean, you need labor participants as opposed to unemployed, reflecting discouraged workers. So, I'd focus on that substantially going forward in terms of the ability to spend and the wage gains that we saw, 0.2 versus 0.1, still relatively anemic. So consumer spending is not out of the woods, and that really is the thrust of the economy as we know.
Futures advance off the comments of Jim Glassman and Bill Gross. A joke there. We're up 13. Dow futures up 124. The 10-year yield has gone 11 beeps higher, 3.11%, and 30-year bond, rather.
Which brings me to my next question for Bill Gross. Bill, do you buy 10-year treasuries at 1.91?
Well, the 10-year is not our favorite maturity. The 30-year is not our favorite maturity. To the extent that the Fed is focusing on 2% inflation and not really afraid of higher inflation unless the unemployment rate gets down to, perhaps 6.5 to 7%. They haven't specified that exactly. But, we're focused on 5, 6, and 7-year treasuries because they're held in, Ken, by, that extended period of time. To the extent that the Fed doesn't basically increase interest rates until late 2014, and we think actually it'll be beyond that, then the 5-year is protected versus the 10 and the 30.
Can the 7-year join the 5-year? We've seen this immense decline in the yield of the 5-year.
Well,
0.70. Can the 7-year come in under 1%?
It's sort of a tweener, Tom.
Yeah.
We own a lot of sevens, too. The seven to us is really the protection against the other fat bimodal tail, the turnaround, the unexpected downturn, that might come from Euroland and Greece and, some of the deflationary, disinflationary consequences that we've been observing for the past 6 to 12 months. So, you don't want to all be in 5 and 4-year treasuries because they won't move if things turn the other way. And so the 7 years, a decent alternative. But as you move out to 10s and 30s, then you get that inflationary sense that, you know, that produces lower prices, higher yields, such as on a day like today.
Bill, if I look at the Bloomberg, I look at a 2011, you'd like to forget, particularly a 3-4 month period, you'd like to forget. Things have been better since December or November. How did you turn around your flagship fund?
Well, 99th percentile better, according to your numbers, and thank you, Tom. You know, it's been turned around basically by several segments. One, we did make an inflationary bet. We did think that the Fed would raise its inflationary target to 2%, and that's produced a tremendous bid and higher prices for TIPS. You know, the total return fund has about a 8% position in TIPS, and TIPS have done extraordinarily well. Secondly, munis have done very well. We've got about a 5% position there, and they, relative to the 30-year treasury, are up 4 or 5 points over the past 3 or 4 months. And so, you know, those two areas with selected bets in the UK and Germany all have produced a, you know, perhaps close to a 200 basis point pop relative to the market over the past month and a half.
Well, Bill, you know, when you look at the jobs report today, you know, we know it's not definitive, but you look at it today, you look at the numbers out of the automakers. What happens if the 2 percenters are wrong and the economy starts growing more than that? And then the Fed is in the position of having to change its mind, right? So then what happens?
Well, that's possible, Ken. Yes, the Fed has always said that they were conditional. And let's not forget that, including PIMCO, when I speak to late 2014 and beyond. You know, if we do get stronger growth, then, you know, certainly we've got a Fed that reassesses the situation. As a matter of fact, some like Plosser have been doing that for the last 12 to 24 months. We think, however, that on a global basis, and you have to look at this globally because the U.S. is part of the global picture, that there are a number of structural forces, certainly the delevering and the tremendous amount of debt that will be with us for the next 5 to 10 years, in our opinion, the globalized imbalances of trade, developed versus developing, those have to be rectified, and all of it produces a lack of global aggregate demand, which, you know, produces growth and certainly a new normal type of level of 2%, and as I suggested, and we're beginning to suggest in the next few months, you know, perhaps a paranormal type of world in which, you know, if some bad things happen, whether it's in the Mideast or whether it's in Euroland in Greece, then we can move in the other direction.
But to reaffirm new normal, and I think we need to make this clear and simple, Bill, or paranormal for that matter, you and Mohammed are not talking 3.5% real GDP.
No, we're talking 2%, 3.5% GDP and 5 to 6% nominal GDP, Tom, is what the world grew used to. It was their diet for the past 20 to 30 years. And all liability structures, basically, and investment perceptions were based upon these numbers. To the extent that it's now 2%, and to the extent that nominal GDP is at 4 and struggling to stay there, then liability structures such as pension funds, such as insurance companies, such as automobile manufacturing can, although it's looking good at the moment,
right,
you know, struggle going forward.
I'm glad you bring this up, Bill. It was my mistake not to bring it up earlier. This is absolutely critical, which is our retirement plan matching to the new normal, to whatever that may be. How out of whack are our pension funds, our institutional monies glide paths out 5 years or 10 years? Can they amend and adapt, or is this going to be a real struggle?
They can only amend and there are a number of ways to amend and adapt. They can take risk, and on a day like today, they wish they were 100% in stocks as opposed to bonds. But basically, they're 35% underfunded on average, and we're talking about state plans and corporate plans in general, Tom. Basically, they didn't immunize on the way down. They get caught by lower interest rates, and at the moment, they're lacking the amount of money to fill those plans going forward. And so, yeah, it becomes a significant problem. Either they have to increase contributions and reduce corporate profits, or they have to, basically take greater risk in terms of equities and risk assets, and that they don't want to do.
Are they still assuming 7 or 8% returns?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
8% is the number. And, you know, they close their eyes and put on the blindfold, much like a horse puts on blinkers, I guess, coming out of the gate on a racetrack. But it doesn't change the result.
Bill Gross, Neil Kashkari is running your equity platform. Does Bill Gross wake up and wish he owns dividend-paying stocks?
Oh, I do, personally, and PIMCO does as well. You know, we're a believer in that. To the extent going forward that we have a lower growth rate, you want a more stable, reliable cash flow, and that comes in the form of dividend and higher dividend-paying stocks. It also comes in the form of globalized, diversified companies that can withstand an up or a down in a respective area.
And now, with a moment of silence for the San Francisco 49ers, we look north from Southern California. Would you buy Facebook shares, Mr. Gross?
Oh, not yours truly. Wouldn't buy Facebook. I don't even know what Facebook is. I'm not on Facebook, and I struggle to understand it when my kids try to explain it. So I wouldn't buy Facebook. I would buy the Johnson & Johnsons of the world. There's a AAA company, Tom, with a 3.5% dividend and global diversification. So I'm an old guy. I'm 67 years old, but I leave that to the younger generation.
Bill Gross, thank you so much.
Thank you,
it's
Bill.
A break exclusive. Gross passes on Facebook. IPO.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.